Another test for Jesus. Here they are. Pharisees have come up to test Jesus. Now, the most generous interpretation of this kind of thing is that the Pharisees are coming up to make sure, to test Jesus, to make sure he's got the chops that to be who people say he's going to be, the rabbinic chops. I mean, he's got to be able to hang in there with the rabbis if he's going to be this great person that everybody says he's going to be. Of course, the worst way of interpreting it is that they're trying to undermine his ministry altogether. So pay your money and take your choice on that one. But it's not real clear. But here's what they ask. What is it lawful for us to divorce or not? To divorce our wives or not? And Jesus is willing to enter in. He says, well, what do you read in Moses? And they say, Moses allowed that we could write a certificate of divorce and divorce her. And Jesus says, Deuteronomy 24:1, chapter and verse, well done. That's because your heart is a heart. What? Well, Deuteronomy 24:1-3 or 4, I forget which it is. Anyway, it's really interesting. It isn't a law saying you can, it's not about the law saying you can divorce your wife. It says this. Say a man writes a certificate of divorce and divorces his wife. Say then that wife gets married to somebody else. And then that second husband divorces her. Or dies, either one. The rule here is that the first husband can't remarry the woman he divorced. Well, is that like a rule saying you can write a certificate of divorce? I mean, it has that in there, I suppose. It's not really the point of the story. The point of the story, I think, is this, that there is two things going on here, I think. One is that the way that women are treated, it's like you can trade them, or you can, as if they were property, which I think is just totally a part of what's going on here. And also then, that I think that Moses and God knew that we desire things that other people desire, right? So say we are married to a woman and well, she just doesn't please us anymore, and we'll get to that in a minute. And then but then somebody else really thinks she's desirable. All of a sudden now, whoa, hey, maybe she's more desirable than I thought she was. And this rule just cuts that right off. Not doing that. We will not treat women that way. We will not treat each other that way. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Right? Okay. All right. So, Jesus says it's because of your hardness of heart that Moses wrote that, but from the beginning, and now this is really, from the beginning it wasn't that way. Huh? A man and a woman get married, and they become one flesh. First mystery. They become one flesh. So when you're talking about when Jesus says what God joined together, or actually in Genesis and Jesus quotes it, what God has joined together, let no one separate. It's not that. It's what God has joined together, let no one rip apart. Divorce is the tearing of flesh. Don't do it. It's hard. It's violence. Right? Okay. That's one of the first mysteries. The second thing about that part of Genesis is this. Therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife. Isn't that interesting? Because the way it worked out was the man and his clan, because remember that back in the old days, in those days, this isn't like a romantic wedding like, you know, try to have now. We sort of the illusion that everything is, you know, all about, oh, we love one another, we're going to love one another all our lives, and it's just between the two of us. Well, we know that's not. How many of y'all ever had troubles with in-laws? Okay, so you're not just, it's not just that you're marrying one person, you're marrying a family, a clan. And this is exactly what marriage was like and what it was really for, was there was this clan and this clan need to get together. How are we going to do that? We're going to have a marriage. And the marriage was to signify peace and harmony and unity among the clans, among the tribes, among the nation. And finally, and this is the other mystery, is that marriage is the reflection of God's fidelity with God's people. So there's all of this, these things going on here. And the reason that leaves his mom and dad is because of the power balance. It ended up that most of the time the women came to be with the man. But that puts her in an awful vulnerable situation if, in fact, the marriage doesn't work out. Because now the woman is out. A woman can't have property. A woman isn't usually going to have work and may not even get received back into her clan because of the shame-honor culture that they're in, right? So when a woman goes off to somebody else's, to her husband's clan, family, she's totally vulnerable. In the beginning, it was not so, to quote Jesus. In the beginning, the man went and was with the woman's clan, and that so that he took the place of vulnerability, because he was able to work, able to have, and if it didn't work out, he was okay, because he could support himself in an acceptable way. A woman out on when she gets cast out, if she's not received back by her remarried, which is problematic, or received back into her father's house, which is also problematic, ends up being on the street. How is she going to take care of herself? In ways sometimes not as reputable as we would like. But what other choice? Right? So, she's put in the vulnerable position. And this whole business is, there is two things. One is that from the very beginning, a woman was not supposed to be in a place of vulnerability that way in this culture. And yet, that's what happened. So Jesus says in the beginning, and all of this is about hardness of heart, right? This is your hardness of heart. And I think we, in thinking about things like divorce, can also kind of enter right into this hardness of heart business in a couple of different ways. One, which doesn't sound on the surface to be a hardness of heart, is, well, you know, it is what it is. People get divorced. Okay, let's move on. Ever have that response to people when you hear of a divorce? Oh, well, I have. Well, and the hardest part, I think, that's being created in that response is, I don't want to deal with that pain. That is torn flesh. That is really hard. I just don't want to enter into it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to feel it. It is what it is. Which most of you know, I hate that. Yeah, because what it is I really don't want to enter into the suffering. So that's one way we can have a hardness of heart. And I think we do that enough, then our heart really does become callous. In a number of things, in terms of entering into people's suffering or not. Second way, is to make a hard and fast rule and judgment about it. To say, oh, people who are divorced, that's against God's law, it's no good, and they are not acceptable to God. Or some facsimile of that. Right? To judge people who have entered into divorce, who for whatever reason, and there could be all kinds of reasons, some of them really good, for them to not be living together anymore. So to not have hardness of heart on the one side, and to not have hardness of heart on the other side. That's our call. To not let our heart get hardened to this kind of thing. And it's really, to broaden it, it's just don't let your hearts be hardened to the tearing of flesh. And the tearing of flesh happens in so many ways in it, doesn't it? Right? I mean, there's just general violence against bodily violence against one another. There is, we can talk about, no matter how you feel about abortion, whether it should be pro-choice or pro-life or all of those things, it is nevertheless a tearing of flesh. That's abortion. It boils down to something.
Right?
And so it is, again, not an either or. It is not a judgment on this side or, oh, it's no big deal on the other. Because I can tell you that there are many, many women I have talked to who have had abortions who think it was the right thing to do, but it's hard. It is not, it's excruciating. It's in the same vein as the guys who fought in war and killed, and have judged themselves unworthy because of it. Okay, so it is what I'm trying to get at here is it's the tearing of flesh and all of the things that war, the tearing of flesh. And I'll tell you what I think is tearing the flesh these days right now. I mean, we're coming up on an election, right? And oh my goodness, I was at a place, Braver Angels. They had they're great. They get Republicans and Democrats together, and they actually like figure out how to be able to listen to each other, really hear what people's concerns are, not like, oh, you know, just kind of whitewash them away. Oh, yeah, that, no good. All right? And it's beautiful. Here's the thing. So I was at this presentation, and one of the presenters said something like, in the United States, I mean, in this political climate, there ain't no divorce. We got to learn how to get along. And I thought, well, that's not true. Could very well be a divorce. I think what the person meant was there will be no amicable divorce. There can be a divorce, though. I mean, we had one already in our country. Right? We had a war, the tearing of flesh. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's happening now. I don't know. But it feels like the ripping of flesh. Like we can't even talk to our brothers and sisters. We can't. In the church, we can't even do that. There's so many different views of where God's supposed to stand. Hardness of heart. And what Jesus is saying is this. No, I'll put it another way. What does Jesus do whenever he sees the tearing of flesh? Whenever he sees a place needing healing, what does Jesus do? He goes to it and touches it. And he heals. That's Jesus' response to the tearing of flesh. Every single time. Peter's mother-in-law touches her. She's well. The guy who's spent down up through the roof, who's paralyzed, Jesus touches him. The woman in the story, the little girl in the story, touches him. The hardness in my heart, Jesus is touching and healing. May we pray that the nation's hardness of heart may be touched and healed. And in fact, isn't that? Aren't we the body of Christ? Aren't we also called to go to places where there is torn flesh, brokenness, illness, antagonism, and going to those places and touching them in the power and the Spirit of Jesus to bring healing and life? 1st step. Against what idea, person, whatever, is my heart turning into stone? It's a great question to ask. Where is that? And then, how do I invite Jesus to touch my heart so that I can also be a part of the body of Christ which goes and touches the brokenness of the world? Really amazing how often it is that Jesus is touching torn flesh, broken bones, broken people with his body. And isn't it something that his body also is broken and his flesh torn? I'm going to read this again from Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. We are united with Christ. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. In a culture where things are set up, where certain people are vulnerable and other people are less vulnerable, body of Christ is called to be there. It's where Christ goes. It's where Christ is. The body of Christ. It is right that we also should be sanctified in the sufferings of this world and bring that suffering into transformation, to transform suffering to life. It is what Jesus does, dear body. And you and I, we are united with him. Amen.